Don't let the Z fool you. This isn't a Puck Bunny podcast. It's Game Misconduct with Dory and CT.
Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And Dory, why don't we jump right in with our guests this week? Why don't you introduce them?
Yeah, one of our favorite guests here at Game Misconduct. We've had him on several times throughout our eight seasons. It is Corey Long, the Lightning reporter for NHL.com, which is where you will find his articles. And Corey, where can they find you on social media?
Oh, do I have to? No, I guess I do. Okay, fine.
Yeah, you do.
On Twitter, at Corey Long, CoreyLong.
Nice and easy.
Yeah. I was one of those early Twitterers. I was part of the original group. I was able to get my name in there. No underscores, no numbers behind it. I'm just straight Corey Long.
I am too, but my name is like a little more unique than yours. I mean, I think like Corey Long could be, you know, it's pretty common, right? I mean, it's a common.
It's a boring. Just say boring. That's what you want to say.
No.
It's a boring name. That's fine.
There's nothing about you, my friend, that's boring.
I can handle it. I can handle it. I am quite aware of my flaws.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I think that we have a lot to unpack already with the Lightning this season so far. So let's start with Kucherov and the injury. Give us your thoughts on what's going on with Kucherov.
Looks like a groin, which means he's in a lot of pain. I think the recovery for surgery is about 4 months. I don't think he's having surgery. So I think that puts him at about 8 to 10 weeks. My initial guess before I even knew if he was going to have surgery was that he would not play anymore in the 2021 calendar year. I am sticking with that. So if he comes back late December, then I would consider that a bonus. I think it's going to be about 9-10 weeks, but he will return.
Okay.
And hopefully he will return with a vengeance, because he was expecting to have a big season this year, and this injury must frustrate him as compared to his, you know, when you add up with his hip injury, which people on the internet are dumb, but he did need hip surgery. And anybody who tries to play, he couldn't play hockey like 2 weeks after hip surgery, okay? Like, he needed several months to recover. So I'm sorry he happened to return at the playoff, and I'm sorry he's just really, really talented and can, you know, happen to play at a high level. But that's Nikita Kucherov. He's just a really, really good hockey player.
Yeah, and that's a great segue. So when the Lightning revealed the ring, their latest ring last week, many of the anti-Lightning contingent repeatedly brought up that inside the ring, they should have included, you know, 18 mil somewhere on the ring. Now, we haven't spoken to you since they won their second straight cup. So what are your thoughts on the 18 million over the cap situation? We gave ours, and I can tell you in a nutshell, it's nothing illegal. It's in the CBA that you can do this, and don't be mad that JBB is smarter than your general manager.
Yeah, and don't be mad that Jeff Vinnick isn't cheap like your owner and is willing to spend the extra money to do it. Like, they wanted – the bottom line is that money is available, but you do have to be willing to spend it, and he was willing to spend it. And at the end of the day, a lot of the other owners, a lot of other fans might have cheap owners that want to count nickels, whereas the Tampa Bay Lightning have an owner that wants to count championships.
You know what it reminds me of? Do you remember after the bubble playoffs where, and I don't know who did it. I don't know. I don't want to misquote the writer, but there was that whole writer came out with this investigative expose on how life was in the bubble. And it was some player on a bubble team that said, and it's not fair because some teams like the Lightning got good food and everybody was laughing like, yeah, the Lightning got good food. Okay. Your team didn't provide you with, like, you know, you got Crustables. What do you, but it kind of reminds me of that, like
Cheetos, mac and cheese, box mac and cheese every day, apparently.
But I know, you know, Rachel and I got a big kick out of that. Like, oh, you know, like somebody was complaining that some teams got good food. They got catered food and restaurants brought
travesty.
Oh, the travesty and treating your players, you know, well, so that maybe that's a reason, you know, guys like Corey Perry want to come play here after he's gotten beat twice in this, you know, in a row in the finals. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I bet during those scrums, Perry's like, so what's your guy's secret? Like, man, you should check out the salad bar that they give us before every game. Yeah.
I mean, we honestly, like all three of us, you know, Corey, you know, you're there a heck of a lot more than we are. But the Lightning put on quite a lovely media dining.
Yeah, they do. And it's even, you know, you get multiple protein options, good fresh vegetables. The salad bar is tremendous. Like, if you want nothing else, you can get so much out of the salad bar. They don't have it right now because of protocol, but we used to have the live cooking station and the ice cream bar. Yeah, I mean, yes, we all get good food at Light to Eat, whether you're a player, whether you're covering the team. The good food is spread around.
Oh, gosh. Dory, get us back on track. And I'm just hungry now.
I know. I'm thinking about.
I bet that's why Bogosian came back. He's like, Toronto's just not doing it properly. Toronto is not handling. They're not handling the cuisine properly. And I bet he was talking all. Hey, Austin, you should see what the Lightning have in food options. You would not believe it. I'm going back. I'm going back. I don't care what they offer me. I'm going back, and I'm taking 3 years. I'm growing.
I mean, we all, like, Rachel knows that, like, my favorite meal of all time is, like, the turkey dinner is so good there. Okay, getting back on track though. The team, we're crying over here, the team has a next man up mentality. Brisbois knew they would be highly improbable, right? You brought up Bogosian coming back, but he knew that it would be highly improbable. He basically said so at the you know, exit day, that they could keep Blake Coleman and Tyler Johnson and Barclay Goodrow and you know, for obvious reasons. And also the expansion draft, they had to know that they would lose someone to Seattle. They knew that's the way it works. They knew they were going to lose someone. They didn't know who. So the two-part question that I have is, how has the next man up mentality, how has that been faring in your opinion so far? And which of the players that left out of the Tyler, Coleman, Goodrow,
Gord.
And Gunny Gord, have they had the hardest time replacing so far? Where has it felt the hardest?
Now, remind you, we're only a few games in, and that's the one thing I want to tell all the fans is that, you know, if we're in a spot 40 games in where they can't score in the first period, they haven't held a lead, then we can panic. Then we can legitimately say, what the heck is going on? So right now we're only a few games in, and there's, and it's just they're struggling to find goals. So who are they missing? And it's really a collective, to be honest with you, because you think of what all of those guys provided. You start thinking about what Yanni provided, his ability to be, you know, a tremendous pest. You know, he skates so fast. He brings so much energy. Forecheck. You know, he can do some power play stuff. And he could put the puck in the net. You know, he's a legitimate 20-plus goal guy. Even as Tyler Johnson, I understand that, you know, his contract was one that he probably, you can say probably didn't play up to it. But, again, another fast skater. I never doubted his effort. At times I struggled to see, you know, to see why he wasn't more productive. But he was a guy that could score. You know, he could score goals when you needed him to. He could score timely goals. And, you know, Goody wasn't as much of a goal scorer as Blake was, but, you know, collectively they were just perfect. You know, sometimes you just get three guys that seem like they've been doing it for 20 years together, and those three just had that they had that amazing chemistry, and it was, and you saw it. I think the first time we saw that line together was in the bubble, and you're just like, oh my God, these guys are good. You know, these three guys got it. Like, they know something. They had it from second one. So yeah, you miss them all because you're replacing them with unknowns. And whether that's, and you know, we followed Taylor Radish, we followed Boris in the AHL. Alex Barboulet, you know, has scored plenty of goals in the American Hockey League. You know, Russ Colton came on late last season, but he's still a relative unknown. So you take those guys out, you replace them with guys that you are hoping can find their way in this league and figure out how to play in this league. And you're going to have that adjustment period because we don't know what their roles are going to be. We don't know where Taylor Radish fits in best at yet. We don't know if Alex Barboulet is going to be as good on the power play as we want him to be. We don't know how Boris fits in yet. We know that Russ Colton brought an amazing spark of energy. Mm-hmm. And we know some of the things he can do. He can get in front of the net. He can battle. Who are his best line mates? I think Matthew Joseph is one of his best line mates, but they're not really able to play together a whole lot. So we're not seeing a lot of Colton Joseph right now. So it's just going to take time and a lot of tinkering and, you know, and Coop from game to game, just kind of figuring out how these guys work in best, especially without Kucherov, because they're not getting much out of the third and fourth lines. I don't know that we expected to get a lot out of those lines this early, but not getting more out of the top two lines is a little concerning. Not getting much on 5-on-5 is concerning. Not getting much outside of power plays and extra attackers on the ice is concerning. Not getting anything in the first period is concerning. Like, those things concern. Those are things that you worry about because, you know, we're watching the games. I don't think they're playing bad 5-on-5 hockey. I think they're generating some good opportunities. Why aren't the pucks going in? Corey Perry, I was talking, they're worried about his hands. They say his hands aren't, they're not going to be what they were 10 years ago. He's 36, 37 years old. So he's missing some opportunities. Certain guys need to step up more. As I said, you know, some guys need to be less support, more lead. And that's 21, yeah. And that's 71 in particular. Like, your time being, you know, Al Pacino was in The Godfather and he was able to support Marlon Brando. But then in The Godfather 2, Al had to step up to the plate and be the guy. And now they have to take that role. And especially with Kucherov out, is, you know, Braden Point's a 9.5 guy now. You have to play like a 9.5 guy. It's a major step. You're now a superstar in the league.
Yep.
And their expectations change completely. And, you know, he still does amazing things on the ice. He's an amazing talent. But now you need him to have those couple of points. You know, you need to have those three-point games. You need him to have those when this team is struggling. He's got to be the one that can deliver.
I think that was the first time we've ever had a Godfather reference on this show, and I'm super excited about it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I think you've already answered our next question, which was more like, should we panic? And you said, don't panic. We've got this. But how do you see the Atlantic division kind of shuffling out? Because there's a team to our south that's looking pretty darn scary right now.
They remind you of a team that we saw many times during the start of this ascension, don't they?
Yes.
They remind you a lot of the Lightning from 14, from 15. Like, well, they're just – when they get – I mean, I watch a lot of Panthers games, and I watch them because they're good. I watch because they're entertaining. They got guys that can play. They got guys that can skate. They are – I don't know why. I wish they would draw more because they're better than the Dolphins, who stink and sell out every week. All right? Like, they're that good. It's unfortunate that outside of their very devoted fan base, people don't realize how exciting that team is. So, the Panthers, we felt like last year, we know they're on the come up. We know where they are. I mean, last year they kind of got rope-a-dope into being a little emotional and doing some untimely things and maybe getting a little upset that, 86 was back on the ice and just making them look foolish when they decided to take penalties. But, we know they're good. And I think the Hurricanes are going to be there again. I have great respect for Rod Brind'Amour, even though I don't know what he was doing with his goalie situation in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know what Nedeljkovic did to him. He's like, I'll start Mrazek, who was like 3-20 against the Lightning in his career.
Us. We'll take it.
I'll tell you, yeah. Once the Lightning figured out that Mrazek has no glove, that thing was going to get out of hand quickly. So, beyond that, Montreal. I don't think they're good. I didn't think they were good last year. I thought they played in kind of a comfortable little division and. You get some familiar matchups. You play a team enough times, you're going to know what they do. And I thought they got – Hanna had the best goalie. Obviously, Carey Price, who could steal a few for them. And without Carey Price, hope he gets better real soon. Without him for a while this season, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Toronto's Toronto. We know what's going to happen. They're going to get their fans all excited and let them down like they always do. And the best part is knowing what's going to happen. It's like a movie you've seen 1,000 times and you know the ending, but you're still so excited to see the ending again because somebody thinks the ending's going to change and it doesn't change.
Yeah, it's like watching the Titanic. You know Rose is going to let go.
Shit's going down.
And you know
that iceberg.
Yep.
And you're yelling, turn left, do anything. Yeah.
Go, Rose. There's enough room on the door. Move over.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Now we've had a Godfather and a Titanic reference, just if anybody's keeping score.
We're on a hot streak today. Who else do we have? Detroit rebuilding. We're gonna keep a eye on the Iser plan, see how the Iser plan is.
Boston.
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 Do you feel like Boston their window might have closed?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I feel like it closed. I feel last year. I felt last year this was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bergeron is a heck of a hockey player.
Yeah.
Pastrnak. I mean, but I do feel like they've kind of I feel like, yeah, the window is closed and now it's, I just don't think they're the same team that they were 2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have anything to add on Boston? Because I'm looking at the standings right now and I almost had a heart attack.
Go ahead, Rach.
Buffalo is second in the division right now.
Yes.
And I was like, wait, is that inaccurate? Is that wrong?
I think Boston was really, I think they were like second in the division when they went to Stockholm to play the Lightning.
Boston or Buffalo?
Buffalo. And then, yeah, the Sabres. And then that whole situation
catapulted
the Lightning kind of, they were like, oh, this is who we are as a team. And the Lightning went one way and Buffalo went the other way.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that too much.
It's funny. I have a really good friend named Jessica LaPointe who was at one time named like the Sabres Woman Fan of the Year, like something like that. And she's a super devoted fan. So I sent her a text last night and said, hey, the guys are playing well. Give them credit. She's like, yes, the year that I deferred my season tickets. I'm like, well, you weren't the only ticket holder to do that from looking at the crowd. So I understand their frustration with the organization. So,
well, Jack Eichel's looking to defer his tickets as well.
Yes, Jack Eichel is looking to do. I mean, how much do you hate a team by saying I'm willing to take a 6-month recovery surgery just not so I can just chop off another year of being there?
Yeah,
I get it. It's Buffalo. It's a city and a state. So it's a city and a state. That's how I can describe Buffalo. I lived in Buffalo before, so I can talk about it. I can talk bad about Buffalo. I went to Canisius for a year, and I dealt with like a 38-inch snowdrop one week. Yeah, exactly. That was when I was done.
I'm back to Florida.
Never again. I don't care how good your public policy program is, I'm out.
All right, Dory, let's wrap up this no holds barred, rapid fire. It's just good stuff. Beginning of the season, there's just so much to talk about.
Yeah. And so we asked Brian Burns this last week, so we're not going to tell you his answer. But I'm now obsessed with knowing who everybody in Tampa Bay media thinks. Which player do you think will have a breakout season this year for the Lightning, and why?
Oh, breakout season and why? All right, let me think. Matthew Joseph. I feel like at this point in his career, he knows what he's capable of doing in the league. I thought his stretch during the Stanley Cup final last year gave him a lot of confidence, especially that game tire in game four. Even though they didn't win that game, he's out there making big plays. I love Matthew Joseph, and I think he's a fine gentleman, and he's somebody I really root for. And I feel like, you know, he's going to have that. Maybe he can hit 20 goals. Maybe he can get a little bit more. I feel like, you know, he's going to bring that speed. They're going to find a way for him. I think they're going to get him involved in the power play. I would love to see him on a power play. His skill level is really increased. So I'm excited about Matthew Joseph really getting to play a full season this year, no longer being an extra
situational type guy.
Yeah, he's a guy on this roster. And I think if they're going to get a lot from their bottom two lines, I think Ross Colton are going to be a big part of that.
I will say, let's not sleep on Eric Chernak. Apparently, I heard earlier today he's like fifth for shots in the entire league. Defenseman.
Wow.
Yeah. I could be wrong. Don't quote me in any of your articles. Fact check me.
No. I will say this. From the minute Chernak got into the league, I've always been pleasantly surprised by his willingness to play offense, to jump in on the rush, to take shots. And that's from day one. Like, because when we were told about him, he was a big, physical, stay at home, basically a young, stronger Luke Shen.
Yeah.
And he's turned out to be a guy that really, really likes the idea of, you know, firing a puck at the net. I'm all for it. I'm here for Eric Chernak bringing out more of his offensive game.
I'm here for any more offensive game from anybody.
Yes, I'm here for anybody that can score right now on the team. I am here for you, Ryan Elliott. If you want to jump in on the many nights that you're not playing, and you want to jump in and get some goals, go for it.
Oh my gosh, Corey, it's always so much fun when we have chats with you. Thank you so much for joining us. And remind everybody, they can find all your stuff on NHL.com, correct?
That is correct.
And at Corey Long on Twitter.
At Corey Long on Twitter, absolutely. I am always enjoy being here, and I appreciate you for bringing me on as a guest.
Always, Corey. All right, we'll catch you at the rink next time.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We'll be right back. Well, it's always a joy to have Corey on, and you know, it's a little, it can get away from us a little bit, hence the two movie references, just because he's so much fun to talk to.
He really is. I mean, when I know we say like, oh, we have, you know, so-and-so is our favorite guest or whatever. Honestly, like Corey is one of those guests we always look forward to having because he's so funny and so witty and so quick. And he always says something that either makes us laugh or shocks us.
And he doesn't hold back. I mean, he kind of tells it like it is, you know? Yeah. And so that's sometimes refreshing, getting to speak with him. So, I mean,
it is.
He said it, don't panic. I'm not panicking. They'll get it together. It's fine. Like like I mentioned, you know, Buffalo is second in the division. You know, we probably won't stay that way. So things are just, you know, they're just falling into place at this point. And, you know, we have some new guys and we have some guys that are banged up and hopefully they'll get healthy and come back. And interesting that Corey doesn't think that Kucherov will come back until the 2022.
Yeah, I think it's the whole groin thing. We saw it.
Well, don't rush him. Like, don't rush the Russian.
You know, I'm trying to think back to Ben Bishop when he was so super groiny for a while.
Groiny.
And, you know, he would leave, you know, he would come back for training camp. So that would be, what, August, September-ish. They'd go out in April. So, I mean, the time frame probably fits. Kucherov's probably no disrespect to Ben Bishop, probably in a better shape.
Yeah, I mean, I think they said like November 30th is like the last when they announced what his issue was and you know how long they thought he could be out. I heard on like NHL Network that it was like November 30th was kind of the target date. But you know what? If you're in a good position and you don't feel like you need to rush him back and you give him more recovery time, that doesn't hurt either. So, you know, I'm sure they'll reevaluate where they are in the season when he's getting close to coming back and see if it works out for everybody. So,
yeah, it's really early in it, like Corey, you know, and we all feel it's just really early. I understand people get,
we're so used to winning, Dory.
Yeah. And a few years ago, you know, Dan Lucas, a sports anchor of WFLA, joined us and he said that. He said, listen, Lightning fans, you guys are spoiled.
Yeah, we're
just spoiled. They have a bad start and everybody, you know, kind of freaks out about it. But I would say the only thing that, you know, I think the third and fourth lines, I think they're going to get it together.
Yep.
I think, you know, he had a great point that I think gets overlooked a lot. Goudreau, Coleman, and Gord is one entire line gone.
Yeah.
An entire line that produced. They're gone. It's going to take a little bit of time. We've seen them kind of take time to regroup. It's been as late as December sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they were like, oh, okay, now they're getting it together. Yeah. So I'm not worried at all.
And I mean, we're talking about our third and fourth lines. We still have our first and second line and our world-class goaltender. So just, you know, don't worry about it. You know, we've got plenty of scorers on our team. One thing I would be remiss if I didn't mention, Pat Maroon and his wife, Francesca, welcomed their new baby last week. So cute.
Super cute.
Yeah. So Pat Maroon, a dad, once again, three cups, two kids. and we haven't really talked about the rings yet. That came out after we recorded.
They did. It was that day. We actually talked to Brian Burns. You guys go back and listen to last week's episode. We talked to Brian Burns about him getting his new ring.
Right.
And he didn't even know he was, I think it was one of those surprise type things. Fallout Boy was there.
Yes.
That was hilarious. If you go and watch any of the videos of them just like taking over the stage for Fallout Boy, at one point, I thought Pete Wentz was like, I can't play, guys, give me some room here.
Yeah.
Looked like a super fun time. The box it came in was unbelievable. Yeah. It had a key. They unlocked the key. It opened up. A light came on and a video played inside the box. So cool.
I think this box last year was the same, but it was a blue box.
I think it was a blue box. Yeah.
Yeah. And Brian Burns had said like the design for this year's ring came up runner up last year when they were choosing designs for the ring. So like the one that was last year's ring or the previous season rank was the one that everybody voted on, like, I guess the Vinnick family and whomever decides that. And then the ring they got last week was like the second place one.
Most popular.
Yeah. Which one do you like? I'm curious.
I'm going to say, oh man.
People have very strong opinions about this.
I don't think I have that strong of an opinion because the first one was different because it was such a wow factor. We had never seen a ring like that.
Yeah.
In any sport.
Yeah.
Right. So the wow factor of that was just, you know, unforgettable. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember texting you at like 10:30 at night or something crazy. Like, you have to see this. But I think for me, I personally like the second one, but that's just my taste.
So same. The first one was like that wow factor, but yeah. I agree. I like the second one. Because it's got the team logo on it and that's the focus. And I like how it opens like a book. Yeah, it's cool that the top came off on that first one and had like the arena and all that in it. Mm-hmm. But they all have really special parts. I personally love number one BS. Made it onto the freaking ring.
I do too. I am so excited. And I sent it to a couple people that really aren't like hockey fans. And they were just like, because they knew about it. They were like, yo, this is crazy. This team is nuts. And I sent it to them and their response was like, I just may be a Lightning fan now. Like that is so cool. That is just cool. And I think it goes back to like, that's how this team is. They're willing to think outside the box. They're willing to walk that line of, you know, is this, I don't offensive.
They're
at all,
entertaining.
But, yeah, they are.
And that's
they
not
are super entertaining.
And a lot of hockey players aren't that way.
Mm-hmm.
Either one, because they're Canadian and they're very like, you know, humble.
Yeah.
Or they're from another country and maybe they don't speak a lot of, you know, our language that well. So, you know, you don't really get those characters in hockey like you do football and basketball and baseball.
Exactly.
So like this team, especially the one that won last season, they have a lot of character. And, you know, maybe there's one guy on a team, like when Mike Smith played here, he was a character with Ryan Malone. Characters, right? So some teams may have one or two guys. It's almost like up and down this line, the lines, they've got really funny and interesting and personable guys. Like, I mean, you have Pat Maroon, Corey Perry, and now Nikita Kucherov, which I didn't think I would put his name in with those other two with being a character, but he is. So it's just, it's really cool. So I love that character came out in that ring and it was, you know, it was awesome. So bravo to the Vinnick family.
Yeah.
Amazing job.
Definitely the Lightning have probably the chillest Russians in all of the NBA. Yeah.
It's the Russian mafia, man. All right. Well, Dory, thank you so much. It's always a joy to get to speak with you. We recorded a little later today just because we knew that the team played last night and we wanted to get as much information out there as timely as possible. So, new episodes drop on Tuesdays. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Leave us a 5-star rating and a review, and we will catch you next time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.